بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد، حياكم الله. Dear brothers and sisters, to the translation of this khutbah, which I began as usual by خطبة الحاجة. And then I said, Imam Muslim have reported in his Sahih and others in their books on the authority of Salman al-Farisi رضي الله تعالى عنه. And he said that the told you about everything.
But everything,
even how, how to do in the toilet. He Salman said yes. Verily, he taught us everything. Even what you do in the toilet, he told us not to face or back the Kaaba, the Qibla, when we are in the toilet. And he told us not to clean after discharging by right hand, not to use right hand for cleaning. Know that we clean by, if we use stones or other than water, other substance other than water, not to be lesser than 3 times, especially when we use stones. Not lesser than 3 stones. Must be 3 stones and more. And he commanded us not to use the animal dung, nor the bones in cleaning. So I said after this hadith, a sharia, a religion that takes care of everything, even this little thing, can it ignore major things in the life of the Muslims? Can it ignore major things? It's impossible. It's impossible for a sharia or religion that takes care of these small details to abandon or ignore major things in the life of the followers of it. Yes, all Muslims, all slaves of Allah, rarely our religion taught us, our religion Islam taught us what to do in the normal circumstances and even in the critical circumstances. This religion taught us how to deal with our parents, how to deal with our children, how to deal with our wives, with our relatives, with our neighbors, with our friends, even with the others who are not from us, and the kuffar. This sharia of Islam, which is the last and seal of the whole religions that Allah Ta'ala sent down, and the one has the control over them all by obligating them all, as once Allah Ta'ala sent down Islam, no one of mankind or jinn is allowed to worship Allah by other than Islam. This religion can never ignore or abandon how to deal with the rulers. It taught us how to deal even with dogs, with cats, with animals, with everything. Even with ants, little things. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us that Sulaiman, the Prophet عليه السلام, one day he was bitten by an ant, so he killed a big number of ants which were living there. Then Allah Ta'ala blamed him. For one ant biting you, you burnt all of the ants, you killed all of them. So it's a teaching to us not to. We are the masters of the rights of everything, rights of animal, rights of human, rights of even trees and plants. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, he said, if you are holding a plant to plant it, small plant to plant it, and you saw the
The Qiyamah, don't do it. Granted. What for? The hour is already existing now. But Isa Salam taught us, this is the right of the plant. This is the right of the plant. Plant it, and then submit your case to what's going to happen. So this Sharia is so perfect that it cannot leave even small things. This Sharia, in this Sharia, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, we are told that when you make wudu, when you perform wudu, and you inhale water into your nose, you don't exhale by right hand, only exhaling. Because right hand is only for good things. Handshaking, eating, drinking, giving, taking. So these small details Sharia take care of. How come it ignores major things? It cannot be. It cannot be. So the Sharia told us what to do when we have rulers who are pious and good. And how to act when we have rulers who are oppressors. Who are oppressors and wrongdoers. Now, as the Prophet ﷺ said, as in the hadith of Ash'ath ibn Qais in Sahih Muslim, when a man asked Rasulullah, he said, O Prophet of Allah, see if we got rulers who ask us their rights. See if we got rulers who ask us their rights. And they prevent us our rights. And they prevent us our rights. What do you command us to do? What do you want us to do then? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turned away from him, did not answer. The man asked again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away again. And the man asked the third time, then Ash'ath ibn Qais, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grabbed the man from his clothes and pulled him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately turned to him and said, Isma'u wa ati'u. Listen to what they tell you and obey what they tell you. And obey. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا حُمِّلُوا. As upon them, the responsibilities that are given to them, they are going to be asked about it. وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ. And you are going to be asked about the responsibilities that you are given. So everyone has to do his duty, his role. The role and duty of the ruler is to be just with the people. If he failed, if he didn't, we are not the ones who judge him. Like what these ignorants doing in the squares of the capitals of their countries, like in Cairo, in Tunisia, in Yemen, in Libya, in Syria, and everywhere. This is all nonsense in Bahrain. This is not correct, this is not from the Sharia. This is only exported, this is only imported from the Kuffar. They are only importing it from the Kuffar. The Sharia, this is a clear, direct command from Rasulullah. You do your turn and don't ask about this. There is one who is more aware than you of their mistakes and their wrongdoings, and there is one who is more just than you, there is one who is more powerful than you, going to judge them. It is Allah. It is Allah. But these people say no, they want themselves to be the judge. They don't accept the directions from and instructions from their Lord. And they don't accept the justice judgment of their Lord. They say, no, we want the United Nations. We want the Security Council. What power can the Security Council have compared to what Allah has? So, subhanAllah. Then I said, oh people, this guidance from Rasulullah is in regard to those rulers who are oppressing and wrongdoing their people. They ask them their rights, and they prevent them the right of death. So what about rulers who, since their government is established from the first day, it was only established upon the Quran and Sunnah, due to the agreement between a scholar and the ruler, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab as a scholar and Imam Muhammad ibn Saud as a ruler, they both agreed that we work together, that you, the Shaykh, you spread Islam, you and your people, the Shaykh, the ulama, scholars, and that he, the Saud, spread the justice, spread the justice. Since that day, this land returned back to be on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he and his khulafa and the first three generations were. As you see, you guys are here. Maybe these guys who are listening to me on the internet, they don't know that. But you guys living here, and you came from countries where it is totally different than here. You are here and you are the witnesses before people and before Allah as well. In your countries, you see other religions, you see other houses of worship, but in this country, you only can see masjid. You only can see masjid. Some of you in your country, you get annoyed by the smoke of the fire that they worship. Some of you cannot sleep because the bell that they ring in their churches. Some of you cannot even walk as a Muslim. You have to hide your Islamic identity so you can walk safely. But in this country, you can walk very quietly, proudly, very freely. In your country, you can see the cinemas. But here, you see no cinemas. You only see places where lectures of teaching Islam as well. You go to the beach, you don't see naked women, but you see tents, big, massive, huge tents. Built for what? Shuyukh to come and teach the people even when they go for picnic in the beach. If you go to the desert, you still see them. If you are traveling from Jeddah to Medina, stop in Mastura, in Yatima, in Wadi Gdeid, in these places, and see. Just stop to fill gas and see what you see there. Big tents. They bring the shiur even to the desert. In your country, you see women go out with no covers, with tight jeans, with many parts of their bodies exposed to cause fitna to the men. But in this country, you only see women in black abaya. And many, many others, ikhwan. In your country, you live a year, or maybe very rarely or seldomly you hear Islamic money transaction or riba. Here, the British bank, the French bank, the Holland bank, the whatsoever bank, the American bank, they all tend to call and put big posters, Islamic transaction. Whether they do it or they don't, up to them. But at least they found it now essential to say so, because they have to go with the wave. And the wave in this country is going to the direction of Islam, only Islam. Alhamdulillah. So So since that day, when they had the agreement between these two imams, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, who has been oppressed, by the way, by many Muslims. This imam, been oppressed by many Muslims. His only mistake is that he wants to be on the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's his only mistake. His only mistake is that he fears for all of the ummah not to go to that fire by worshipping the graves of the awliya. His only mistake is that he's calling them to worship Allah alone. Like what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the prophets before him did. And that's why they hate Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab. And they hate his da'wah. And whenever we mention his name, they put their fingers into their ears. They don't want to listen, exactly like people of Nuh did. But if they just look at it and show me where is the mistake of it, they listen to the Rafida because he came with something. Does not accept what the Rafida do, worshipping their ayat. They listen to the major Sufis because he came with something. Does not accept what the major Sufis doing by worshipping their awliya, whether living or dead. Have you ever heard Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab say, or any of his students, or anybody who is influenced by his way of teaching, have you ever heard any of them say, if you're going to marry, you bring your wife so that the wali, the imam, be the first one who sleep with her, to give her barakah, blessing. This is what the Rafida have. Have you ever heard that your sister can go with someone for 1 hour? Have you ever, in the da'wah of Muhammad Abdul Wahab, this is what the Rafida do. And they call it great worship. So I don't know why people hate the truth, but this is something known. Show me the prophet that his people accepted him. From first one, Nuh alayhi salam, to last one, Muhammad alayhi salam, his people did not accept him. The munafiqeen of that day and the munafiqeen of today, which are the Rafida, they are spreading a rumor against the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His wife done wrong with Hatib ibn Abi Balta. She done wrong. That's what they say. Subhanallah. Is this something you accept for your mother? And these people said your mother, your own mother did that. Will you accept that from them? You gonna be friend of them? What about the mother of believers? If they said your wife did that, will you accept it? What about with the wife of Rasulullah? If they say that your wife done it and you knew it, but you kept quiet, what does that mean? What does that mean? You are someone who have no jealousy about your family? You're like pork? You're like pig? And they say, Rasulullah knew, but he did not want to do the punishment. He did not want to punish Aisha. What does that mean? Is this prophet good? If Muhammad ﷺ did so, he's not good. He's not good. And how come he does that? When he said to Osama ibn Zayd, when Osama came to ask Rasulullah ﷺ not to punish that woman who stole something, he ﷺ turned angry. Osama, the boy that he loved the most, he loved him very, very highly. But he said to him, O Osama, by Allah, if my daughter Fatima, who's more beloved to Rasulullah ﷺ, Fatima or Aisha, which is more major crime, stealing or fornicating? He said, if my daughter Fatima stolen, I would have cut her hand off. So how a prophet who will not hesitate to cut his daughter's hand off if she stolen something that he can return now, and he can give more to please those people. He does not do the punishment of something he cannot correct. Fornication, you cannot repair, you cannot correct. Once it's happened, it's happened. It's not something you return back. Honor is gone. So how come they say that about our Prophet and we still say that they, oh, the Islamic government. I say the Jewish government of Iran. They are more Jewish than the Jewish themselves. They are more Jew than the Jew themselves. Wallahi, they have nothing of Islam. Wallahi, they have nothing from Islam. But we have people today who still call Muslims to come and cooperate with them. A'udhu billah. So that's why they hate Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, because he said, no, we have no cooperation with these people. They say, oh, this is the enemy, it's not America. They are too close friends with America. Very, very close friends with America. Very, very close friends with Israel, which they call themselves Israel, and Israel is free of them, because Israel is Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. So these two imams, the imam who is representing the Sharia and the imam who is representing the government, had agreed to work upon the Quran and the Sunnah guidance and to spread this all over the land and to help the people who are ruled by them. And like that, this government has continued all those years, around 300 years and something, and the first Saudi government, and this, the third Saudi government. And this is the third Saudi government. The first two had enemies who succeeded in destroying them. But this Allah Ta'ala protected. And may Allah protect it until the day of resurrection. Because they are the guards of the real Islam. Before the Ikhwan, no one can hear what the others have. The Shafi'i is Shafi'i, the Hanbali is Hanbali, the Hanafi is Hanafi, Maliki is Maliki. Four religions, not four madhab. Four religions. King Abdulaziz came and found around the Kaaba four mihrab, where the Imam stands. What is that? He said, these for each madhab. They don't pray behind each other. He said, then this is four religions, not four madhab. If they don't pray behind each other, then this is four different religions. And then he commanded to remove them and make only one. And guess what? He did not say, as they say, only people of Najd are the imams. No. They have one who was Hanafi originally, but by knowledge they changed to be from Ahlul Hadith. And that was a man from India called Abdullah Khayyat, rahimahullah. And he had one Maliki, which is Alawi Maliki. And he had one Shafi'i, which is Abu Samh. And he had one Hanbali at his time. I forgot his name. So these are imams. And until today, you don't have four mihrab, but you have more than four imams for the Masjid al-Haram. You have more than four imams. Now, so this is not correct. And the madahib, the four madahib, are taught in the school, in the haram. In the haram, instead of the haram, there is a school called the Haram Institute. And they teach the four madahib. They teach four madahib. It's not prevented. It's not said, no, you are not allowed to teach other than Hanbali. No, it's allowed. It's allowed to teach. But what is not allowed is enmity. Enmity is not allowed. We are not enemies. We are all Muslim brothers. Now, So this government continued to be on this way until today, when we are having the shade of this government and all security, iman, very high class of life, and I mean it, very high class of life. Wallahi, even the worker who come from his country to work for only 500 riyals, ask him, compared to what he earns there, this is something big. He cannot find it elsewhere. If I'm wrong, just correct me. Because, alhamdulillah, this is not because of anybody. It's only because Tawheed is the only thing here. Sunnah is the only thing here. Then Allah Ta'ala is the one who guarantees all the security and nice life in this land. Security in this land is not because of the forces. America has much, much greater and advanced forces than Saudi Arabia. Can they guarantee security in their country? I challenge. I challenge any Western government, any government in the whole this world, they cannot have as secure as here. One day I asked one colleague of mine at work, he's Western Kafir, who came to work here when he was only 18 years old and left us when he was 45 years old. I asked him one day, what makes you to stay here all this life? And he got married, by the way, he got married here. He met one of the Kuffar nurses and he married her. And he got children. And children grow up and study here until they are in age of universities. So he took them back home. I asked him one day, when you're staying here, hot, dusty, no discos, nothing, why are you staying here? Even if they want to go for swimming on their own way, almost naked, you know where they go? They go hundreds of miles away from people. They cannot do it in our beach. They go in far, far, far beaches where nobody can see them. So they are hiding. They are hiding. He said to me, Muhammad, one thing that make me stay here, that you guys or most of you do not know. I said, well, tell me that. He said, security. He said, security. He said, security that I have here, I cannot have in my country. I said, subhanallah. You guy, you're kafir. You did not, you understood this and felt it. But our people did not. How come that be? How come that be? So anyway, it is not something strange to be seen from the custodial of the two holy mosques, King Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz, may Allah preserve him and increase him in health and iman. It's not so strange for him to come out and he come out very humble to say to the people, please pardon me from this surname you gave me, the king of mankind and the king of hearts. People put this surname for him. He did not call for it. People put it for him. And they put posters and signs and king of humanity and king of hearts. He said, don't call me that. And then he said, the king, the real king is Allah. And we are only slaves of Allah. Subhanallah. This is not yani type of words that he just want to earn the hearts of people with. But it's a belief that he has. It's a belief that his father taught him upon. You know this sheikh I told you who is originally Indian, Abdullah Khayyat? He was Imam in the Haram for some time. Then King Abdul Aziz removed him. Why removed him? Because he wanted him to be the teacher of his children for the iman he saw with him. And these all kings were students of Abdullah Khayyat. And that's why you always see them. I remember King Fahd, for example. Whenever we hear him giving a speech, always he say, Rabbul Izzah wal Jalal, Rabbul Izzah wal Jalal, Rabbul Izzah wal Jalal. Every two words he brings this. The Lord of dignity and majesty. In every two, three words, you can go back to YouTube and say King Fahd speeches. And listen, subhanAllah. They are taught like that, as we are going to come to, inshallah. So this man, King Abdullah Ibn Abdul Aziz Al Saud, may Allah preserve him, last Friday came out to the people and announced many decisions that he made, which are only on benefit of people, only on benefit of people, and people of Tawheed of this land were so happy and settled with it. But you know who were annoyed? Those who are living in the land of Kuffar. Wallahi, in that same day, I was driving from Jeddah to Medina after Asr, and I was listening to BBC radio. Immediately on that day, on that particular day, there was an interview with Sa'd al-Faqih, who's living in London, supported by the kuffar, financially, everything. He said, this is a bribe. This is only a bribe. This is only a bribe from the king to his people. I said, subhanAllah. You were saying that this government do not give the people, this is crying for people. Now when they gave, you say, oh, it's only a bribe. What exactly you want? You want to be the king? Believe me, if he become the king, I will leave this country. Because I don't accept, I don't feel honor to have a munafiq like him saying that. And if it is not nifaq, then it is what? To criticize everything good in the land of Islam and the Muslims. To criticize the ulama of Islam. And you are staying with the kuffar. And we never hear any one single word from you of what they do. Even in what they do in the Muslim countries. You did not even say nothing. The Yahud in that land objected some of their activities against the Muslims. But you never, all what is annoying you is to see Iman and Tawheed in this land. That's all. He want more freedom. He want our wives to expose themselves for him to see who's more beautiful, my wife or his wife. That's what they're thinking about. And they say Sharia, Sharia. Is what you are doing is Sharia? Layar wallahi. Wallahi layar. It is not from Sharia at all. It is not from Sharia to escape from the land of, wallahi, to be in a jail, underground, in a land of Islam, better than to be free there in the land of Kufr. It is better. But they don't understand the Sharia. It's only, he has a doctorate, I think, in medicine or physics like that. Most of them, if you go check, they're like that. And even those who studied some Islamic Sharia, they stopped by there and they became ulama instead of going to increase their ilm with the ulama. So this decision made by the king last Friday were only to serve the Sharia of Islam and the proper aqidah and the Muslims living in this land. I say, O slaves of Allah, this thing cannot happen just accidentally like that, for a citizen. Because this man, may Allah Ta'ala preserve him, came out to the people years ago. Some years ago he came out and he said, please do not kiss my hand. Only the hands of parents can be kissed. Do not kiss my hand. Subhanallah. Is this a man looking for oppression? Subhanallah. And it is not strange to hear these things from him, because his father is the one who united the whole Arabian peninsula upon Tawheed and upon the Sunnah. After it was small countries fighting with each other, killing each other, and no one could be even safe to move from the north to Mecca for Umrah or Hajj. Before King Abdul Aziz united this kingdom, when anybody is coming from, for example, Tabuk or Qasim or Jizan or Dammam for Umrah or Hajj, he has to write his will and he has to say goodbye to his family because he's not returning. Most possibly that he's not returning back. Not because he likes to stay here, but he's going to be buried somewhere. Not because he loves to stay in Mecca, but maybe on the way, in the middle of the way, he'll be killed. No security. King Abdul Aziz came, and he, first thing he did, he realized that I have no enough power to spread soldiers in every 2-3 meters to watch security. So what do we do? As the ulama, what do we do? It is the Tawheed and Sunnah only. You just do them, Allah will provide you security. And that's what's happened. That's what happened. Once they implemented Tawheed and Sunnah, security came. Security doesn't come from people. Security only comes from Allah. From Allah. And Allah Ta'ala brought it to us. Alhamdulillah. And may Allah Ta'ala keep it for us until the day of resurrection. And not only that, but Allah Ta'ala, subhanallah, ya ikhwan, all the countries around Saudi Arabia were colonized. Except Saudi Arabia. You know why? Because the colonizers, they look and they saw what is good in this desert to take. What is good in this desert to take? So they just left it. They just left it. Like that. They say it's only desert, no water, no agriculture, nothing. So why we come? Until King Abdul Aziz came and he established Tawheed and Sunnah, then Allah Ta'ala brought him oil. And then they found that the largest amount of oil stored or storage is found under Saudi Arabia. In the whole world, the largest amount of oil is under Saudi Arabia. This is not something King Abdul Aziz planted or he put it inside the ear. It is Allah Ta'ala who brought it out. It is Allah Ta'ala who brought it out. Now, and now, look at that. We are, I don't want to say we are one of the richest, because this is not just. I say we are the richest country in the world. Wallahi, the richest country in the whole world. Show me one country which is more rich than us. Sweden? Where? America, Europe, I challenge. This is the only country do not take taxes from people. It's enough. The only country that does not take taxes from people. So, and we have the richest, the lowest price of gas. Even the neighborhood countries who have oil like us and little pollution and high income, still the price of a liter of gas is double, if not more, than what we have. Even just the ancient countries around us. Look, a liter of gas in America, what it is though? Now, $3. $3 multiplied by 3.75 reals. What it is in UK? 9 reals. When I was in the UK last October, it was around 90.99 pound, right? That was before the crisis. Now Allah knows best how much it is now. Yani, I told you, go to the Edison countries who produce oil like us and see what is the oil price. I was in Dubai and gas is more than double than here. The fuel, car fuel. Here you don't pay any money for parking, yahwah. Any street in the kingdom you park free. Even in Dubai, which is rich, you still have to pay. You still have to pay for parking. And guess what? In Medina, under the Masjid al-Nabawi, you park and only 1 riyal for hour. 1 riyal for 1 hour. So, Ikhwan, we are living in a real, real blessing from Allah Ta'ala. We only need to thank Allah Ta'ala by worshipping Him alone for what He gives us. And even when the, I think 2 years back, there was economy declining, if you remember. By the experts in the West, they said, we are wondering that only Saudi Arabia around the whole world was the country which is not affected by this declining. Is it because the economic, what do you call the economist? No, the people, the economist? Huh? The economist, are the Saudi economists much more expert and clever than the Westerns? Impossible. Take it from me, impossible. But it is Allah. It is Allah. I will say, أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَأَمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. It is Allah who saved us. Why? Why Allah is saving us alone? Why not the others? It is because we are the only ones who are implementing the Sharia of Allah. Tawheed and Sunnah, that's it. We have nothing else. We have nothing else. And it is because this government took the responsibility of serving the people who come for Hajj and Umrah and visiting the Masjid of Rasulullah. Do they take taxes from them for that? Nothing. Nothing. The government spent on these two holy mosques more than whatever can anybody expect. Ya Akhwan, I tell you something of what Allah Ta'ala guided this government for. They, the kings of this government, the kings are competing with one another. For what? Not for earning more money, no, but for spending on the two holy mosques. Who spends more? Who serves better? King Saud, once he got the kingdom, once he became a king, first thing he did, he expanded the two holy mosques. And he opened Islamic University in Medina. Why he opened this? Because the ulama, the scholars in his time, advised him to serve the Muslims around the world. And it was only for the non-Saudis, by the way, to know. It was only for the non-Saudis when it established first. Only a little number of Saudis can come. But more than 90% were for outsiders, to spread the proper Islam. And the teachers are not Saudis, necessarily. Major scholars around the world were brought. Albani was brought from Syria. Shinqiti was brought from Mauritania. Muhammad Amal Jam was brought from Ethiopia. Muallimi was brought from Yemen. And many, many others. Atiyah Salim was brought from Egypt. And many, many others, from India, from everywhere, they brought them to teach the Muslims the proper deen. But they only brought those who are upon proper aqidah and manhaj, regardless their madhab. They did not say we only bring Hanbali. No, as you know that Albani never was Hanbali. Even when he was young, he was Hanafi. And he was humbly. And he was always against the, what we call it, ta'asub of madhab, the extremist of madhab. So, King Saud did that. After him, King Faisal came. He served the almost, but in his time, there was something much more greater, which was the Palestinian problem, and he put his life for it. If you go to YouTube and type the word that was the cause of killing King Faisal and see what he said. In the Arabian Council, he stood and gave a speech to all the rulers. Sorry, in the Islamic Council. In the Islamic Council. He gave a speech and he said, he talked to whom? He talked to the ruler. He said, what are you scared of? Killing? Death? I swear by Allah and I ask Allah. If he decreed these days, I ask him to make me die as a shaheed, a martyr. For the case of Palestine. And he was killed for it. But he was killed in Riyadh, not in Palestine. But he was killed for it. Only for it. Only for it. King Khalid came. And he was well known to the whole Saudis and everybody was living in his time here that he is the worshipper king. All of them worshippers, but he was more religious than he, very, very religious. He died. King Fahd came. And guess what King Fahd done? I really cannot count the good things that he made and left behind. They say King Fahd is a spoiled man who was gambling in London. That's what the rumors say. Oh, he was after ladies. Subhanallah. He stood very firmly against those who attacked the scholars and the religious police. And he supported them very strongly. And he always say, we are only for this religion. Our life, our death is only for this religion. And he built up the country very, very well and very advanced. Most of these industrial projects you see is in his time, and he is the one who thought about it. Not only that, see the service that he gave to the visitors of Mecca and Medina. See the expand that he Mecca and Medina. First time people can pray in cold weather in the summer in Medina. First time. First time people pray in Masjid Nabawi, very conveniently even though in the summertime, because it's too cold. Too cold for them. They were in the summer in Medina like they are in London. For 7 kilometers, he's running tubes underground to pump chilled water to the haram. He said, and I hear this, he said to the contractor and to the local government, he said, I want a passenger when he comes to the airport of Medina, once he comes out of the terminal, I want him to see the haram. And I want to, everybody traveling to Medina to see the haram number of kilometers away from it. And this means that they have to knock down the old houses around. And look to it now. It's like a very, very, very modern piece of land in the world. You cannot believe it. Maybe in some places, like for example, I just gave for example, in Dubai, they came to on a clear land and they erected towers and. But this was occupied places. And never the haram was closed for works. And he built and he built up all these towers around the haram you see today to contain the number of visitors come to Medina. And all central air conditioned. No one comes there unannoyed. Alhamdulillah. Look at it in Mecca. And then King Abdullah, when he was the crown minister, the crown prince, he built up a building near the Masjid Nabawi. If you see the Movenpick, where the Movenpick hotel is, he built this to be Waqf Indro Trust or and the reward for his parents. King Fahad built up the tower you see in Mecca for his father, he said, King Abdulaziz Tower. All the income of these two only for the holy mosques. The two holy mosques. No one takes any penny of them. No one. It all goes for this. Why? They said maybe the oil goes down for any circumstance. Then should the service drop of the two holy mosques? No. It should continue as is today. And better. SubhanAllah, these people thinking of akhirah, they're not thinking of dunya. If they would be thinking of dunya, this wasn't to be, yani, Saudi Arabia is, yani, in oil and money and this, was before Emirates and other countries many years. But why they use their income in upgrading their countries, as they say, and here we don't see this towers and this in the country, because the rulers of this country had a worry and is how to serve the Hujjaj. That's all. It is how to serve the two almost. To the limit that King Fahd, up to his time, people used to call him, as well as any king today, His Majesty. And he came up one day on TV and he said, I ask everybody to call me from today the custodian of the 200 mosques. Custodian? Who said to be a custodian? Or at least name the custodian. But he said that it's a matter of pride. It's not a matter of shame. It's a matter of pride to be called as the custodian of the 200 mosques. So, King Fahd did all this. And in his time, the oil services, which was from the time of King Aziz, 75% for the investor and 25% for the Saudi government, at his time, he worked out to make it 100% for Saudi Arabia. 100% all the income for Saudi Arabia. Not only that, they bought the company Aramco. And he in his time opened a university near the field of farms of oil, which is a specialist in oil services, which is later on changed to be King Fahd University for Petroleum and Minerals. So please tell me, if these people are only looking for their own benefits, or yani they are oppressors of their people, that's subhanallah wondering. Not only that, ya ikhwan, King Abdullah, may Allah preserve him, he felt the needs of his people and came out last Friday to increase the income of the lowest Saudi, lowest rank of Saudi. Even if he wants to work, then the lowest salary to be 3,000 riyals. Not only with the government, he made it a condition even upon the private companies. If you want to work in our land, this is the condition. No Saudi to be hired for less than 3,000 riyals. It never happened. It never happened. And he, not only that, he gave a welfare for those who have no work. Your countries in the West, they give welfare, but from where? From your pocket. If you have no work, then it is from the pocket of your brother. It's taxes. And it's from taxes. Not from their own money. Not from own they save. It's from the taxes that they collect from people. The king came to save from the save of the government 2,000 riyals for everyone who has no work. For everyone who has no work. Until he finds a work. And even he increased the lowest salary for the retired people. Retired people. Some of the retired people used to get only 1,200 riyals. He said, no. This cannot make a person live, rather than a family. So increase. He did many things that I can't really speak about them, because they took around an hour and a half speaking all of these things. And he also commanded to build up residential units for those who have limited income and cannot own. So I say up. And I'm talking about billions and billions and billions of riyals. And he increased the non-profit loan that the government gave to all those who want to build up a house. They used to give 300,000 riyals. and you return them, I call it the permissible yani joke, but joke, don't take it as serious. Permissible riba. They give you 300,000 and you return it 250,000. And how you return it? Every year you have to pay 9,000 riyals. Every year, 9,000 riyals. Now they said every year 12,000, only 1,000 a month. Now King Abdullah said, instead of 300, 500,000 riyals, the loan, which has no any profit after. The profit is given to you. The profit is given to the one who is benefited out of it. And also he commands to increase the health services, which really very, very, very advanced in Saudi Arabia. You can go and see King Faisal hospitals. You can go and see King Fahd hospitals. You can go and see the university hospitals, which elsewhere you can't find the services. Believe me, for free, I challenge. I had a try in the UK. I had a try. I suffered of pain in my back and side. And then I asked my friend to take me to the hospital. And we went to the emergency section. And in the emergency section, I was given a number to wait. I said, emergency to wait. What is that? It never happened in my country. Emergency, you go on bed immediately. Immediately go on bed. And when I was sitting, I found that I was lucky because I had pain. Because I saw people who came bleeding badly and they are given numbers to wait. I said, maybe it is all beds are busy. When I went inside, it wasn't busy. It wasn't busy. And guess what? They took me inside and they put me on bed. And one doctor came and asked me number of questions, and then he went. Till about maybe almost an hour, some doctor came. Oh, what do you have? I said, Subhanallah. I thought I'm an open book now here. You already had all the information in the records, and you come and ask me what you have? I said, Alhamdulillah, I have nothing, Alhamdulillah. Now, my pain is gone, Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. I was there until Fajr. I have given no any single tablet. Nothing. Nothing. Here you come to the emergency, everybody is panicking. Subhanallah, ikhwan. These services are increased. And also, he established and established more departments and increased the number of employees of the investigation departments. Investigation departments which go and investigate all the other ministries and departments of the country for any incorrect. And then I ended the first khutbah by swearing by Allah, saying that I wallahi do not say this to earn anything of this world. I'm not pushed by anybody. The khutbah by Allah is not told to me what to speak about or prepared for me. I only prepared it, and no one has any control over it. But I only done that, implementing the command of Allah, where He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is the reward of goodness that is done for you, Is anything other than goodness from you to be do, to be done? Meaning, if someone do anything good to you, what should the reward be? Should be good. Should be something good. And then I ask Allah Ta'ala to reward his slave Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz, the custodian of the two holy mosques, the best of what he rewarded a ruler of his ummah or people. And may Allah bless him and his government and his people. And may Allah Ta'ala help us and them in obeying Allah and make us one hand and one jama'ah and to protect us from the plans, hidden plans, and from the evil eye of those who invade us. And then I began the second khutbah by praising Allah Ta'ala, sending peace and blessings Abu Rasulullah. And then I brought the hadith that Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Huraira, and Abi Burda have narrated or have reported. And it is narrated by many scholars, authenticated by Albani in his book As-Sahiha, Silsil As-Sahiha, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ista'inu ala injahi al-hawa'ij bil-kitman, fa'inna kulladhi ni'matin ahsud." Seek the succeeding of your actions by hiding them. And verily, everyone who is given a blessing is going to be evil-eyed. And we are evil eye. We have been suffering of evil eye from others. As we hear from time to time, people who always call only to destroy our security here and to remove this blessing that we are living in and this unity that we have with our scholars and our rulers. So as some of them, as I said, that Sa'd al-Faqih said that it's only a bribe from the king to the people. And I said, die by your anger. Die by your anger, by your envy, where you are, and you're not going to reach any good. And I asked him, what do you have to do with us? You're living where you're living. You are more convenient than us, as you say. Those people who you live by, they spend money on you. So why you are worried about us? We don't want you to worry about us. Worry about yourself, that when you die as a Muslim. Worry about yourself as you change your thawb and ghutra to a suit and necktie. Worry about yourself as instead of teaching people Islam and how to pray there in the West, you are directing your dirt to the land of Islam and the land of ulama. This is our sign of the goodness that we are living in. As the Prophet ﷺ said, خِيَارُ أَئِمَّتِكُمْ الَّذِينَ تُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَكُمْ. The best of your rulers are the ones that you love them and they love you. And wallahi, we love them. And they always say that they love us. Someone may say this is not what is in their heart. I say, first of all, you cannot know what is in the heart. And then it's not only saying, they said it and they act it. They give us. When someone says he loves you, it means that he will please you. And they are pleasing us, alhamdulillah. More than what we expect. They are pleasing us. So, and then Yusuf al-Salam said, and you pray for them and they pray for you. And you hear me. I pray for them. And I hear them praying for the Muslims, not only the Saudis, all Muslims. And the most evil ones amongst your rulers are the ones that you hate them and they hate you. And you curse them and they curse you. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, shouldn't we fight them? Shouldn't we raise our swords to fight them? He said, no, no. As long as they allow you to pray. And I ask you, that's why.
Saudi government allow you to pray, Akhwan? They allow you to pray? They allow you to pray? I say you are wrong, all of you are. They force you to pray. They don't allow you to pray. But they force you to pray. And I challenge if you can't stand by any road here or street or market when the prayer is being held. The religious police that the government assigned, they're going to come and catch you. Why you don't pray? They don't only allow you to pray here. If this happens, this is more than alhamdulillah enough. But they force people to pray. And those who are not Muslims, they are forced not to stand openly if they stand prayer. And no one can have his shop on opening when the time of prayer, when the prayer is being performed. So, and then he said, and whenever you see anything that you don't feel nice from your rulers, meaning, either it is oppression or contradicting the sunnah, what do you do? He said, hate what they do on in your heart. Hate it. Don't like it. Don't accept it. If you see them doing something wrong, you don't accept it. But you don't, as Rasulullah said, تَنْزِعْ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَةٍ. You don't say, I don't obey them anymore because they have committed this or that. No. You are not allowed to do so. You hate their actions, but you don't hate them. You don't say that they are not your rulers anymore. Now, and this hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Awf ibn Malik al-Ash'ari. So I ask you, by Allah, just answer me. Is this, or are these rulers, as the Murjifun, the ones who try to outcheck the security in the country, the Munafiqun, as they suspect these rulers, as they suspect them, that they are, some of them even want to say Al-Yahud, A'udhu Billah. Al-Yahud raised the flag which says La ilaha illallah. Al-Yahud has nothing in the courts except the Sharia of Allah. Al-Yahud like to call themselves the servant of the two holy mosques of Allah. Al-Yahud who have spent and they continue spending a lot of money and the Quran press. Al-Yahud who are doing all these things. I'm afraid that these ones who said that they are Al-Yahud. They are the real Al-Yahud. You all here, you all see, you all watch, you are here in the kingdom. And tell me, Billahi, tell me, I ask you by Allah, tell me. Is anything of what been said true? Wallahi, nothing of it true. Nothing of it true. They only, as you hear King Abdullah last Friday, directed all departments to what benefit the people living on this land, not only on their dunya, but dunya and deen, both. And that's why he gave a command and he said, no, any media is allowed to bring out anything about any of the shuyukh, the ulama, until they raise it to the Minister of Information and Culture, meaning the head of the media. And he will discuss it with the ulama and the ruler, the king, whether to be exposed or not. And he also, and this is only because of what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 83, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ وَالْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. And not only that, but he also supported what we call it هيئة الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر, the commission of the enjoining of good and forbidding the evil. This commission that the government has found many years ago, he now supported them with 250 million. So he supported them with 250 million to open up more branches in all the cities and towns and villages in the country, and to increase the members of them. And just recently, a few years ago, they opened a college for anybody who wants to join this department to go and study there how to do the Amr al-Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar. And we saw all these things from this wise Imam, merciful father, generous Sheikh, brave leader, and a king who is loved and obeyed by his people. So we have to praise Allah Ta'ala. We have to thank Allah Ta'ala for all this, what He, Allah Ta'ala, bestowed on us in this time, where we are like a diamond thrown in a black land. In a black land. And the diamond is twinkling. This is what is Saudi Arabia about. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from the misguidance and misled by the others. And we have to know that whatever good that Allah Ta'ala has cannot be earned by disobeying Allah and turning away from the Sunnah of Rasulullah. But we have to thank Allah, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَإِذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. So obey the command of your Lord and take the guidance from your Prophet and obey your rulers. And the end of our call today is that verily all praise due to Allah, the Lord of all universes, and peace and blessings upon the Imam of the Prophets and Messengers. And then we ended up the khutbah. Allahu a'lam. If you have any question now regarding the topic of the khutbah. Salam. Okay. MashaAllah. Okay. Salam. تفعلون درس أو تمشون؟ أنا فاضي. أو ثلاثة ونص. لا ثلاثة ونص كثير عليكم. أنا ما عندي مشكلة, أنا جالس. لكن نجعل الدرس أسبوع القادم. لا نجعل الدرس أسبوع القادم حتى لا يطول عليك. إلا إن شئت نأخذ يعني درس خفيف أكثر. كما تحبون أنتم. نكمل الباب في. طيب خلاص نكمل بس الباب هذا, حديثين أظن بقي.